The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
This week marks the end of the first year in the pontificate of Pope Leo XIV, and it has not been without its headline moments. So pity the man trying to put the finishing touches to a book about those turbulent 12 months. That's the challenge facing my next guest this morning, Massimo Fagioli, professor in historical and contemporary ecclesiology at the Loyola Institute at the School of Religion, Theology and Peace Studies at Trinity College Dublin. It's a long title. Massimo, good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Is there an emerging theme from Pope Leo's pontificate?
Yes, there is. And it has emerged in these last 4 months, because until the end of 2025, we had a very cautious Pope Leo when addressing America. But in January, things started to change because the American foreign policy changed. And the Vatican felt that they needed to say something, especially when a very sensitive area, which is potential nuclear weapons used in Iran and so on. And so, yes, we have seen in the last 4 months a different phase.
Now, he is an Augustinian, the first Augustinian ever to become pope, and he was prior general, which I suppose gave him some experience of running a global organization.
Yes, also because he was born in the United States, he spent 2 decades in Peru, but he is a man of many countries. So he has stayed in Rome for many, many years, traveling from Rome to every continent. He served 2 years in the Vatican. So he has a global experience like very few popes before him.
Now, the Augustinian part of the pope, how does that inform his thinking?
It does, because Augustine is a man, was a thinker, very concerned with the idea of unity. Unity of the human person, body, soul, passions, instinct, and reason. He's very concerned with unity in the church. Augustine was one of the earliest thinkers of just war doctrine, how to try and avoid war and when to do it morally.
And what did Saint Augustine say about a war that could be defined as just?
Well, there have to be a series of criteria that have to be met. A legitimate authority who declares war, the legitimacy or the morality of the goal, the proportionality.
To free a people, for example,
right,
from servitude. That would be a good goal.
Self-defense, right.
Yeah.
The proportionality of the means that are used, the probability of success. And so there's a long series. And many cardinals and bishops in the U.S. have said in the last few months that the war against Iran does not meet those criteria. And this is at the root of the tensions of these last few weeks.
Were you surprised when he spoke out so clearly against war and indirectly against the Trump administration?
I wasn't surprised, because we saw some criticism emerging already in the earliest speeches of 2026. It had to become direct when President Trump threatened to destroy a whole civilization, as he put it in that social media post. And so it started with Donald Trump, who wanted this clash to become public and direct, because the Vatican avoided that as long as they could.
Now, the threat by the Pentagon to indirectly, perhaps it was a threat that they might even remove the pope. I mean, they cited the Avignon papacy before. I mean, who is the architect of that kind of nonsense?
It is nonsense. We don't know if the word Avignon was uttered in that meeting, but no one disputes that meeting took place at the Pentagon, which is a message in itself to summon the papal diplomat in Washington, D.C., not at the White House, not at the Department of State, which is the natural venue, but at the Pentagon. So that was an expression of the goal of the Trump administration, to claim a certain kind of sovereignty over Catholics, which is very delicate, because there's a long history. Napoleon, Charlemagne, all of that. And so that touched a very sensitive chord. And I think this is not just an incident of the moment, but will continue.
Now, we saw in recent days the deference that Donald Trump paid to King Charles. I mean, he's impressed by royalty. And I had expected that there might be the similar deference to a papal figure. He was never really overtly critical of Pope Francis, for instance. But is it because Robert Prevost, as he was, Pope Leo XIV, was born in America and speaks English as a first language, that Trump expects rather deference from him rather than Trump paying him sort of respect?
That's certainly true. Trump expects deference from everyone, included the Pope.
But not King Charles.
Not King Charles, but the king, he reigns, but he doesn't govern. The Pope does reign and governs. And so there's a difference in the kind of executive power that they have. I think Donald Trump knows that Pope Leo is very popular among Americans now. And I think he knows that this incident wasn't seen favorably by many Catholics in the United States. So we will see where this goes. But you're right, there has been an unexpected directedness in the attack, which is unprecedented in modern church history.
And do you think that's rooted in his American origin, Pope Leo's American origin? Is that why Trump feels, as an American citizen, Trump is citizen number one and everyone else should defer?
I think that's part of it, but it's also that Trump knows that he's no longer the only global American figure on the scene. He has to compete for attention and moral authority with another American in the Vatican who happens to be the first U.S.-born pope.
Do you believe that because Pope Leo XIV was American-born and I presume for a long time carried American passport, he doesn't need one now as pope, of course, that gives the papacy more geopolitical heft than it ever had before?
I think it does. As you know, it was a taboo for until last year to have a pope from a global superpower. The conclave of May 2025 broke that taboo. The situation now is different from May 2025. And now having an American in the Vatican is an asset because there is no possibility for the Trump administration to accuse Pope Leo of being anti-American, of not knowing America, of not liking America. This is an unusable argument now.
It's very interesting. When Pope Leo is talking to journalists on the plane, he will speak in English. And although Pope Francis could speak in English and did, but not as fluently, of course, as Pope Leo, it does make a difference in the efficacy of communication, I think, for us anyway.
It does. It's more immediate, so there's no translation needed. But the major difference is that Pope Francis was always quite skeptical about the whole American project. And so he was critical from the start of the United States as a special nation. Well, Pope Leo doesn't doubt that. And so that gives him a credibility when he talks about America that previous popes didn't have.
The question of English, though, is English the language of business now in the Vatican? Or he speaks Italian fluently, of course. But is there more English in the Vatican?
Oh, yes. That's a big cultural change. It's something that frightens many of my fellow Italians because it's not just the language. It's a cultural change, which means a different way of being accountable when it's about money, when it's about law. It's a big cultural change. It's no longer Italian. It's no longer even French, which for many centuries was really a second language. And so English is coming, and it is a big, big change for the Vatican.
Is there some sort of theological doubt over English as a language of the Roman Catholic Church, given that it was the language of the Reformed Church, the Church of England?
That's a very good point, yes. And we see that argument being made because the most delicate area for the discussion right now on the liturgical reform, on the new Mass translation from Latin to English in the 1960s, is a problem in the Anglosphere because it was the language of the King James Bible and of the Protestants, and so that opens new questions that we don't have in the in transition from Latin to English, to German or French or Italian.
Is there an issue in the United States? I mean, I mentioned the Reformation and the formation of ultimately the Church of England, that in America you might have some sort of schism between Catholics, those who would be perhaps anti-Leo, and those who would support him fully.
We had that risk much more under Pope Francis, but Pope Leo has been remarkably effective in rallying many more bishops and Catholics around him. The real risk is not of an official schism, but of a soft schism, where there is a mutual excommunication that is informal but effective between different kinds of Catholics. But Pope Leo is much more effective in keeping united the Church in America so far.
You mentioned Italians being somewhat worried about a change from Italian to English. And yet, one of the fiercest supporters of Pope Leo has been George Meloni. And I'm wondering why that is. Do Italians, no matter where the Pope comes from, do they always feel the Pope is our man? Don't you dare attack our man.
That's true. Every Italian government has to be Philo-Vatican, in some sense. Even socialists, even communists in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, they had a policy of opening towards the Vatican. And so, in this case, Giorgia Meloni is also reassessing her relationship with Donald Trump. And so, it's a triangular relationship that I think is getting the Pope and the Prime Minister of Italy closer than they were 6 months ago.
A question about internal American politics. Do you think that Pope Leo's impact will have some effect on the midterms?
6 months is an eternity in politics. We will see. Clearly, there are many more Catholic bishops right now who are more sympathetic to Trumpism as an alternative to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, who now are much more skeptical towards Trumpism because they've seen the effects of the anti-immigration policies on their churches. So we might see interesting changes at the midterms in November.
Do you think that this encounter with Donald Trump's power is going to change the nature of Pope Leo's papacy going forward, even after Trump has departed in a couple of years?
It is possible. Many popes started with a plan and then history happened. And they had to change their whole priorities. World War I, World War II, Cold War, 9/11. And so this is something that might happen. I think he didn't expect this kind of global chaos ignited by U.S. foreign policy. The Vatican cannot ignore what's happening in the world.
You said a week is a long time in politics. 6 months is a long time. A week is a long time. You're trying to finish a book and keep it up to date.
Right.
When will we see the book?
Early September, both in Italian and in English at the same time.
And it'll be called?
Leo and the Global Church, Unity and Peace.
Massimo Fagioli, Professor in Historical and Contemporary Ecclesiology at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you. My pleasure.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.